Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in the Dorim Daf Zayin. We begin on the very top line, Zayin Omer Aleph. We're continuing in our discussion of a series of questions that were raised by Rav Papa in regards to whether there are Yodayim, whether there are these partial statements, these handles of a statement that aren't a full statement, but certainly would be potentially as if the person had made an entire statement. And we'd gone through this for Nedarim and Naziris, which we brought down proofs that there is, in fact, Yodayim. And we only had a machlokas as to whether there have to be Yodayim that are mochichos or Yodayim she'ena mochichos. And then we've gone through various other areas in halacha, most of which we haven't given an answer to, but we gave the two sides of the coin. At the end of the discussion today, we'll see an interesting Ron, one of the very nice, beautiful things about the Ron is, in addition to giving his wonderful, unbelievable commentary on the Masechta, he also gives l'halacha, as opposed to normally we don't have the l'halacha l'maisa always brought down by the Rishonim on the daf. So we'll get to that at the end of today's shir or in the middle of today's shir. So we begin on the very top line of Zayin Omer Aleph with the following question that Rav Papa asked: is there yesh yod litztaka or ein yod litztaka? When a person makes a statement that is not a full statement about giving something to tzedakah, does that carry weight or does it not carry weight? So the Gemara asks, what exactly are we referring to here? What's the case? Hechidami. If you're going to tell me, Ilemah, if you're going to say that the person, the Omar, he said, Hodein zuzo litzedakah v'hodein nami, he says, this coin is for tzedakah, and then his yad is, and this one also. He didn't say, and this one also was going to tzedakah, but he said, and this one also. So then what's the shaila? How tzedakah atzmihi? That is essentially a full statement. That's not a yad, because he said, and this one also. He said the first one is tzedakah, and he said, and this one also. That's essentially a complete statement that this one is also for tzedakah. So if he says the word hadein nami, he includes the word nami, what's the shaila? That is a full statement. That doesn't really address the question, is there a yad litzedakah or not? That's a full statement. So therefore, that's not what the person said. Ella kegon. This is in fact what he said. The Omar, the person said the following. He said, Hodein, and he didn't say the word, V'lo Amenami. So he said, the first one, Hodein Zuzo Litztaka, that everybody agrees, that clearly is Litztaka. But then, in regards to the second pile of money, the second coin, he said, the Hodein, and this one. But he didn't say the word, and also. So in that situation, Rav Papa is asking, Mai, what's the halacha? This is clearly a yad. He says, and this one. He didn't say, and this one also. So therefore, in this situation, the two sides of the coin are as follows. Did he mean, Hodein nami tztaka kamar? Or did he say, O Dilma, and I'll read with the girsa that we have in the brackets, Mai, what is this one? Maybe when the second coin he said Hodein, and this one, he didn't mean it's also for tztaka, but maybe he meant the Hodein, and this one, Linafkusa bi alma ka'amar. V'diburahu delo aske. Maybe for the second coin, he's not saying this should go to tztaka. He's just saying, and this one? Well, guess what? This one I'm going to use for some other purpose. As you clearly see in the top mefarish, where he says, Linafkusa bi alma, he says, Klomar. Then he says, V'hodein zuz acher, and this other coin, levi li lotza. I'm going to use that for my personal expenses. I'm going to use that for some other purpose, but not for stalker purposes. So therefore, those are the two sides of the coin, and the Gemara further investigates or explores this by saying, Mi amrina, do we say, Kivan de iskish li karbanos? Since we have a pasuk, which we're going to say in a moment, which compares through a hekish, karbanos and staka, so therefore we say the hekish goes through the whole way, just like the pasuk clearly compares the din of karbanos of Baal Ti'acher to the din of staka, which also has a din of Baal Ti'acher. So too, it compares it for everything, including yodayim, just like karbanos have yodayim, that's a regular neder, that definitely does have yodayim, so too staka has yodayim, or do we say no, this is similar to what we said in regards to the peya, shikha, and leket that we had from yesterday's shir, where we said it's only a partial hekish, and how come we normally say ein hekish lemetza, but here it's only for things that are beferish in the pasuk and not for things that are darshan out from the pasuk. So too, just like with peya from the end of yesterday's shir, we can say that the hekish only goes for Baal Ta'achar, but it doesn't go for the din of yodayim. And that's what the Gemara now tells us. Kivan the iskish l'korbanos, since we have a connection, a hekish in the pasuk between tztaka and karbanos, what is that? Because of the pasuk d'ksiv beficha. What is this pasuk? So the full pasuk is motzos vasecha tishmor. Anything that comes out of your mouth, you have to go and follow through on. In other words, if you make a neder, you have to go and follow through on it. You can't not do it. And then the pasuk says, "Yosisa kasher nodartu l'Hashem lokecha nedava," and you shall do everything that you said you would do for Hashem as an nedava. Asher dibarto beficha, anything that you said with your mouth. Now, beficha is also a pasuk in Yeshaya, as you can see also in the Mefarish. It says beficha in the pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Memhei, which says beficha. And the Bach adds the word beficha is a reference to tztaka. How do we know that? The siv yotza mipi tztaka, because we have this other pasuk in Yeshaya that tells us that something that comes out of your mouth is tztaka. In other words, when it says over here, it's a reference to tztaka. So we see that the pasuk tells us that so this is referring to tztaka. So therefore, the word b'fichach in this pasuk is an allusion to tztaka. And therefore, there's a hekesh between korbanos, the beginning of the pasuk, and b'fichach, which is tztaka. And therefore, we say ma korbanos yeshlam yad, av tztaka yeshlam yad. So the first possibility is that we make this hekesh 100% across the board. And just like for the din of Balti Acher, there is applicability to both korbanos and to tztaka. So too, in terms of yadayim, there's applicability both to the korbanos and tztaka. Or do we say Odoma? Maybe not. LeBalti Acher hu deiskish. It's only over here telling us that you have to do motzos v'sechot tishmor yosis kashet nedat l'shem lokecha. So you have to do what you said. That's only in regards to the din of Balti Acher, because that's written b'feirish. However, maybe it's only for Balti Acher. But not for anything else. And as I pointed out already, it's not a problem of ein hekesh lemerza, because the concept of hekesh is only for dvarim shebar b'feirish and not things that are darshan doubt. So therefore, this is the iboya that Rav Papa asked, and again, it's an iboya to lo ifshita long. We don't give an answer. Rav Papa asked another question: Yesh yad lehefker, odilma ein yad lehefker. When one makes something hefker, so does he have to have the full lashon? He has to say, I hereby declare that this is hefker? Or if he uses a yad, if he uses a partial statement, that will also be making something into hefker. Some more questions is, what are you talking about? Hefker, hainu tztaka. Isn't this the exact same thing as tztaka? As Tosos in the top Tosos on the daf points out, in Dibur Masel hefker, hainu tztaka, this stam mafker, why does somebody make his item hefker? Bishul sheyizku barnim. He's doing it so poor people will benefit from it. So how is that any different than tztaka? So the same question that Rav Papa just asked a second ago for yesh yad l'tztaka or eino yad l'tztaka should be the same exact question as yesh yad l'hefker or domo ein yad l'hefker. What's the chiddush over here? However, the Gemara answers, no, this is a certain style that was saying over here. Im timsi lo makamer. This is a style that says, if you want to say over here, so what about over here? In other words, Im timse lomar yesh yad l'tztaka. In the previous ibaya that Rav Papa asked, if you want to conclude and say, yes, there is in fact yad l'tztaka, that we do make the full hekesh, and we say it's not only for Balta Acher, but in fact we go and make the hekesh fully and say that it applies to yadayim, just like the yadayim by korbanos, there's yadayim by tztaka. If you want to hold that approach, the ain hekesh l'metza, and the reasoning is because we don't make a partial hekesh, the hekesh has to be the whole way through, then we can therefore ask, hefker, is that the same din or not? Hefker, do we say, mi amrinan, do we say, hainut stalker, that it's the same exact thing as stalker, like Tosos just said, because the person's mafker stuff, so that the anim shall be mezaka to it, and therefore it should have the same din? Or do we say, no, maybe hefker and stalker are the same din? Odilma, shining stalker. Stalker is different. In what way is stalker different? Because the stalker, when you give something to stalker, lo chazi el anim, you're only giving it to the poor people. You're saying, this $100 is going to the kupas tztaka. Only poor people are entitled to that money. Not anybody, but only the poor people. As opposed to when you're making something hefker, aval hefker, the person says, this hefker, this item is now hefker. So, yes, your intention may have been so that poor people will be able to benefit from it. But guess what? If a rich guy comes along, he can take that because it's hefker. So therefore, maybe aval hefker, bein la'anim, bein la'ashirim, since technically hefker goes for both rich people and for poor people, maybe it doesn't have the same din as tztaka. As Tosus points out, continuing in the Dibur Masel Hefker Hainu Tztaka, Umasik, the Gemara brings forth the idea, Mikol Makom Hefker Havi L'Aniyim U'L'Ashirim, since Hefker, not only for poor people, but is also for the Ashirim, so maybe this din doesn't apply, maybe there is no Yad in regards to Hefker. So again, another Ibaya, the Lo Yifshita one. Now we have Ravina asking a similar question. By Ravina, Ravina asks the following Shaila, Yesh Yad Debeis Hakisei Olo, does a person making a declaration about a building that he's making or a room that he's making, that it should be a Beis HaKiseh, does that work with your Dayim or not? In other words, a real declaration. So the din is that if a person designates something as a Beis HaKiseh, so then there is a famous machlokus in the Gemara in Brachos, as we say, Hasmona Milsi or Hasmona Lav Milsi, a famous machlokus between Abai and Rava. But the question that we're going to get to eventually is, do we say Hasmona Milsi or not? But right now we're assuming that there is in fact Hasmona is in fact Milsa. So by designating something or building something as a Beis HaKiseh, even though it hasn't been used, does it have the halachic status of being a Beis HaKiseh or not? Now, what difference does it make if something's a Beis HaKiseh? So the answer is that you're not allowed to daven in a Beis HaKiseh. You're not allowed to go and think Torah even in a Beis HaKiseh. You're not supposed to learn in a Beis HaKiseh. So Ravina's question is, if a person actively, fully made something a declaration of Beis HaKiseh, so then there's one halacha. But what happens if he uses a yad? He doesn't say a full declaration. He just makes a partial statement. He has a handle. He has a yad. Does that function to make it into a Beis HaKiseh or not? Now, again, as the Gemara will say in a moment, this will work within the principle of Hasmona Milsa He. Because if you hold Hasmona Lad Milsa He, the question doesn't get off the ground. And I'll explain this more in a moment. But first, let's see what the question actually that Ravina is asking is. Hey, Chidami, what are we saying over here? Elay Madiyama, if you're telling me that the person said, Hadain Beisa, this building that I'm making, this house that I'm making, this room that I'm making, Levi Beis HaKiseh, it should be a Beis HaKiseh. And then his second statement was, and this other room as well, the Hadain Nami. This exactly parallels the previous discussion that we had in regards to Tzedakah. So the person says, this room, room number one, this house number one, is going to be the status of a Beis HaKiseh. In other words, you won't be able to daven it, you won't be able to learn in it, etc. And he says, and the second room, Vodain, Nami, and this one also will have the status of Beis HaKiseh. He didn't say it has the status of Beis HaKiseh, but he just says, and this one also, but that implies, Hahu, Beis HaKiseh, Nami Hava. That's not a yad, that's a real statement. Vodain, Nami is more than a yad, that's a real statement. This one also, when he just was talking about the first one being a Beis HaKiseh, he says this one also, so there's no doubt, that's pashut, that second one is a Beis HaKiseh as well. However, the question that Ravina asks is El of the following situation, Kigon. For example, the person said the Omar, the Hodein, he said the second one, just Hodein. He didn't say the word Nami, just like we had before. So he said, Hodein, Beis HaKiseh, Levi Beis HaKiseh, bathroom number one, that should be a bathroom. Room number one, that should be a bathroom. And this one. And he just says Hodein, but he doesn't say, and this one also. Below Omar Nami. So what does that mean? My Hodein the Omar. When he said, and this one, what did he mean by that? Two possibilities. Did he mean Vodein Nami Beis HaKiseh? Does he mean this is a yad? And he says, and this one he meant, and this one also shall be a bathroom. Do we say that? Or do we say no, maybe not? O Dilma. When he says the word Vodein, my Vodein, what does he mean when he says and this one, maybe the Tashbish will be Almakomer, and this one will be a living room, and this one will be a dining room. He's not saying that it will be a bathroom. So therefore, it's left as a shaila. Do we hold Yad the Beis HaKiseh, or do we not hold Yad the Beis HaKiseh? Morris says, that implies, Michlal, that Ravina's question is assuming the Pshitalei, it's partial to him, to Ravina, the Yesh Zimun le Beis HaKiseh, that we do have this concept of Hasmona in regards to a bathroom. Again, Hasmona is when you haven't used it yet as a bathroom. Everybody agrees once you use it as a bathroom, it has the halachic status of a bathroom for learning, for davening, etc. However, just designating it as a bathroom, right? You put up the architect's blueprints and you say, yeah, this room that we're building is going to be a bathroom. But nobody's yet gone to the bathroom in it yet. So therefore, it's just Hasmona. It's just a invitation. It's just a designation as a Beis HaKiseh, but it hasn't been functionally used as a Beis HaKiseh. Is it worth anything? So this implies, by Ravina's question, Mechlal de Pshitale Ravina, it's clear in Parshat Ravina that in fact we paskin the Yesh Zimun le Beis HaKiseh. We do in fact say Yesh Hasmona. There is Hasmona Milsi. Hasmona does in fact make it into a Beis HaKiseh. More questions, but Ravina himself was in doubt about that. Ravina himself asked this question, do we or do we not say Hasmona Milsi? And he asked it in the following scenario. His Minu Beis HaKiseh Mahu, he said, what happens if they designated something to be a bathroom? Does it have the halachic status of being a bathroom? Or, similarly, his Minu Beis HaMerechot Mahu, if they designated a building, a room, to be a bathhouse, a Beis HaMerechot. A Beis HaMerechot, different parts of the Beis HaMerechot, there are three different statuses to the Beis HaMerechot. There's the outer vestibule area, there's the inner room where they change their clothing, so people are sometimes dressed and undressed in that room, and then you have the inner room where people are undressed and they're actually taking the bath. So each of those has a different halachic status. But let's assume, for example, in the inner room where definitely you're not allowed to daven, you're not allowed to learn Torah, so just the designation, nation. Ravina himself was the one that asked the question, does it or does it not have milsa? Is it, in fact, able to be just designated and then have the halakhic status of a Beis HaMelech HaTzur or not? Do we say Zimun Mo'el? Away in Zimun Mo'el. Do we say Hazmona Milsi? Or do we say Hazmona Lav Milsi? So how can you question, according to Ravina, that designation of Beis HaKiseh is a Yad, you can make it with a Yad, V'hodein means V'hodein, or it means V'hodein means L'tashmish B'Amo Kamar, because that presumes that Hazmona Milsi. And that isn't clear that Ravina holds it. So Mori says, yeah. Ravina is asking this question, Chada Migu Chada, Kama Boile. He's asking one question based upon the other. First question that Ravina asks, which we don't have over here, which we have elsewhere, is he asks, do we say Hazmona Milsi or Lav Hazmona Milsi? Do we say Mo'el or Wayne Zimon Mo'el? So that's his first question. Is Hazmona Milsi? So assuming that you hold Hazmona Lav Milsi, so then the second question never gets off the ground. But assuming that you hold Im Tim Saloma Yezimun, if in fact you say that Hazmona Milsi, that the designation of something as being a basic Hisi or Beis HaMelechos, gives it the halachic status, even though it's never been used, but it gives it the halachic status of being a Beis HaKiseh or a Beis HaMelechos. The guy's a builder and he's building a house, and this room is designated to be the bathroom, and nobody's ever gone to the bathroom, and now he has to have a mincha. So he's not allowed to have a mincha in that room. If you say Hazmona Milsi, just the designation makes it into a bathroom halachically, Im Tim Siloma Yesh Zimun. So then his question that we're asking here in the Gemara, Bar Ravina, Yesh Lad Basic Yisi, Olav, now came, goes into effect. Yesh Yad, Oweno Yad. That's Ravina's question, and the Gemara says, Tiboyale. Now, Tiboyale is a strange lashon. This is the way that Nedarim says Teku. And you can see this in the Tosos, Dibur Amascho, Tiboyaloch, where he says, Pirush, the meaning of Tiboyloch is Kimoteku, like everywhere else in Shas, it's Teku. And he points out something which we've already said previously, and we'll see many times in Masechta Nedarim, V'loshon Nedarim Mishuna. This Masechta has unusual languages, has unusual terms here, phraseology, that we don't find in other parts of Shas. So, for example, every place else in Shas, it says Teku. Here it says Tiboyloch. No, it should be a question. And here, too, we have, as I pointed out earlier, we have something a little bit unusual. Not so much in the Gemara, but in the Rishonim on the Daf. Now, Rashi and Tosfos every now and then will say this is the Halacha L'Maisa, but certainly not on a very regular basis. And here we have the Ran. The Ran, as we mentioned many times, is an unbelievable commentary. I heard said over in the name of the Vilna Gaon that learning the Ran on the Nedarim is Me'ein Olam Haba. It's an unbelievable, great pleasure. And it certainly is. So the Ran over here brings down the Dibur Masu L'Inyan Halacha. So the Ran tells us he paskins over here. The Ran is going into everything. He goes through Shakal V'Tayr is much deeper than normally we find Rashi or Tosfos going through. He's really a super commentary on Masechta Nedarim. That's why it's so much longer than the typical Rashis on the Daf. And he says over here, Linyan Halacha B'Kiddushin, in terms of the first question that we had, is there Yad to Kiddushin or not? Nikitinan L'Chumra. We pass in L'Chumra. This is Din Doraisa. So we go L'Chumra. The Yesh Yad, that we do say that there is a Yad in regards to Kiddushin. The Kavan, the Bayan, Loivshita, Havale. So, since this is a question that we didn't come to the end to, it's a Sveka Daraisa Uluchumra. So, we have to pass in Luchumra. Maybe the woman's Mekudeshes, maybe she's not, so we go Luchumra. In regards to the end of the Peya, Utstaka, the next two questions that we had, one from the end of yesterday's year, one from the beginning of today's year, so he brings down Kosav Arashba, Sal, so he writes, the Arashba says, Nami, that's Lina Luchumra. We also have to go Luchumra that say that there is Yad the Peya and there is Yad the Tztaka, because given the Sol Kubiteko, since we left it off over there with the Teko, we didn't answer it. Again, Tiboyloch, we ended off the Gemara with the words Tiboyloch, which is Teku, so therefore, he says, in that situation as well, we have to go Luchumra. Nami Azlino Luchumra, Kiva the Sol Kubateku, since there is no clear resolution. And he says this was the opinion of the Rambanzal. The chain cause of the Rambanzal, the Hilchosov, the Bayon, the Tztaka, Loivshita. The question regards to Tztaka was never answered, the Hedja specifically, the Sugya and the Yeshad, the Tztaka. In regards to this Sugya, the Kaimalan Nami, the Choteku, the Isura Luchumra. And any times we have a Teku in regards to an Isser, we also go Luchumra. And he has a much longer discussion about the Tztaka aspect. We'll just jump to the end of the Ran, where he says, V'gabe Hefker, the next question was in regards to Hefker, so he says, Ein Sofek. Here there is no Sofek, the Habale Sveka de Mamon, Ulukula, the Ein Yad. So he says, in regards to monetary matters, so we normally say, I must be all of a Raya. And therefore, there is no Sofek over here in regards to the Iboya about the Hefker, and we go Lukula, and we say that there is no Yad in regards to Hefker. And finally, V'chein Nami Gabi Beis Hakisei and the Beis Hamerchutz, the Afilu in Timsu Lomar, Zimun, Moel, even if you paskin Hasmona Milsi, Lomahani, it won't be good in this situation, and we'll say there isn't the yad in Beis Hakisei, there isn't the yad for Beis Hamerchutz, because these are Dina the Rabbanan, Elimi the Rabbanan, Vavle Sveik the Rabbanan, Ulukula, and this is Sveik the Rabbanan, and we go Lukula. Now we continue in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, which says, what about if a person says the lashon of menuda ani lucha v'chule? So in that situation, Rabbi Akiva said, I'm not sure, and I'll paskin l'chumra. So what does it mean when Rabbi Akiva says, I'm not sure, and I'll paskin l'chumra? So Amar Abaye, Abaye says that moder Rabbi Akiva linyan malkus, she'ein loka. He says Rabbi Akiva has to go l'chumra over here. Why is that? So you can see in the Ran, in Dibra Maschu, Menu Dani Lucha. So Rabbi Kiva, the Mishnah used the lashon of Chochech Bozeh Lahachmir. He scratched his head, so to say. Chochech Ki Odom Shu Mesupok. He's scratching his head. I'm not sure what to do. Bedover, and he's not sure what to do in this case. Umeschachech Beatzmo Bipneisheno Yochol Varo. And he's scratching his head, so to say, in the manner of a person who's perplexed by something and doesn't know what to do. So therefore, he says, I have to go Luchumra. Now, why does he go Luchumra? So you see in the next run that Dibra Maschu, Modo Yerubi Akiva, that in regards to Malkus, we don't give him Malkus. Because why? Because Domi Sveikahu, Shoya Machmir. He's Machmir over here, but he's only Machmir al Sofik. Not because he says this is the definitive answer. And therefore, Umiyu, you see from here, the Ram points out a very interesting fact. He says, Shaminon, the Yodos, Nami Lamalkos Israbu, that in regards to Malkus, this concept of yard also works. However, the ilo, because if it didn't work, so my mother Rabbi Akiva pshita. So then, why would Rabbi Akiva say that his mother that you don't get Malkus in this situation? Shenu loke, because here it's a suffix. That implies that in a situation where it's not a suffix, but it was a yard, so then you would get Malkus if you were over on what you said you would do. So that's the interesting point that the Ran makes, that from the fact that Rabbi Akiva says, in this suffix situation that you don't get Malkus, that implies that in a Vade situation where we do say there's a Yad, so then you would give Malkus even if the person only transgressed his Yad that stated he would do or not do something. But in a situation of suffix, only there do we say that Rabbi Akiva says you don't get Malkus. He's a Machmer to say that the item in fact goes through. We are Choshesh for this Yad, but if a person broke it, he wouldn't get Malkus. And Abaye says, I'll show you that I'm right, because the Imkain, if in fact the person should get Malkus even in the Suffolk situation, so it should have said, Nisne Rabbi Kiva Machmir. It should have just said that Rabbi Kiva is Machmir. So why did it have to tell us, oh, he's not sure? So the fact that he tells us he's not sure, it's come to teach us this din, that he's not going to give Malkus in this situation when he wasn't sure, and he just paskin the Chumrah because he wasn't sure. Now, in our Mishnah, we only had the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, it said, he's not sure, he was chochech, he was scratching his head, so to say, and he paskin l'chumra, and as we just pointed out, we don't give Malkus. But that implies that there is a chachamim's opinion that disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, and says, in fact, that there aren't yodayim over here when he says the lashon of menuda anilach. So the chachamim would disagree with Rabbi Akiva and say, if the person uses the lashon of menuda anilucha, so then he would not, in fact, be forbidden to get Hanoah from that person. So Omer Rapapa says, based upon this concept, he says, what about if a person uses the Lashon B'Nedina Minoch? If he uses the Lashon that I will be Nedina. Now Nedina, Mefarish says, in Dibra Masel B'Nedina Minoch, is the Mashma B'Perish Ahe Menuda Lecha, that I should be in Nidoy from you, which is an excommunication. Also, everybody says, when he says this lashon of Nedina, so as the Ryan says as well, in Nedina Minoch, Tukuliyam also, Kolomar also Veloke. Here, it's Vadai. And you would not only say that the Yad takes effect and the person is not allowed to get Hanoah from the other person, but if he did get Hanoah from the other person, he would be transgressing his vow and he would, in fact, be Loke. Albeit the Ran points out that in this situation, he would have to add on, like we had pointed out previously, Shani Ochalucha. He would have to say, like Shmuel had pointed out earlier, in regards to Mifushani and Ruchkani and other terms like that, that he would have to go and say Shani Ochalucha. And the Ran adds, Ubinadina, when he says, I'm going to be Binadina Minoch, so he says, Nami. The Kovasayu Shuloshun Harchoka. This is similar to Miruchukani. And therefore, when he says, I'm going to be in a status of Nidui from you, so that the Kuliyama, Lopligi the Osa, everybody would agree that that is a Loshun, as long as he says Shani Ochaluchak, according to the Ran, so then he would in fact be, the Yad would take effect. And if he transgressed his vow and he got enough from the guy, he would in fact get Malchus. So that, Rapapa says, the Loshun of Benedina Minoch, everybody agrees, that would be a valid neder, and he would be usher, and we get malchus if he in fact transgressed it. If he uses the lashon, however, mishamta na minoch, if he says I should be in shamta, now shamta and nidui are very, very similar. However, the Ran points out in Dibur Masel, here's instead of the girsa mishamsona minoch, the Ran has the girsa mishamisna minoch. In any event, here he says, the Gemara says, the kuliyama shari, everybody agrees that the person would not be in violation of his vow. This isn't considered a vow. He wouldn't get malchus. And why is that? So the Ran says, "Dafilu Omar." Even if he added the words "shani ochalucha," he says "mishamis no minoch shani ochalucha." Nevertheless, isura nami leker. There's no is here, and certainly there's no malchus. Why not? Because he says "she'ein ze loshon neder el loshon shamta." There is a difference when he uses the loshon of mishamson or mishamisna. So that's a loshon of not being a neder. That's just saying I'm far from you. Now, the Pirush HaRosh explains it a little bit differently, and he says, "Benedina mimcha l'kul yam aser." In that Dibur Masel, he says, "Demashma misnodet ani." He says, "I am moving about from you. Umuvd mimcha. I'm separated from you." And he says, "Va'abetvei mimeruchakni." And this is more than the lashon of "I'm going to be mufrish from you. I'm going to be meruchak from you" that we had previously. Aliba the Shmuel. That we had under discussion on Dav Dalit, according to Shmuel, that you have to say Shani Ochel Lecha Shani Tom Lecha. Baha the Tana Lo Mani Le Bahade Yados. Why wasn't it listed over there in the Mishnah? The Ikal Meimar Tana Vishir. No, he didn't list everything. So yes, this Lashon of Benedina Minoch would have been a perfectly fine Lashon to list it, but he didn't list everything, and therefore it is a perfectly good statement. As opposed to, the Rosh continues, Misham Sana, Lekuli Amashari, because this is a Lashon of Shantahu, below Yad Leneder, and he doesn't consider the Lashon of Misham Sana to be a Yad Leneder, but Nedina is Mashma Noder, below Lashon Nidor. He says it's not a Lashon of excommunication, but it's more of a Lashon of Noder. So the Rosh is easier to understand than the fine distinction that the Ran makes, and the Rosh says that when he uses Lashon of Medina Minoch, that's a Lashon of Neder, and he says the Lashon of Misham Sana Minoch, that's a Lashon of Shamta, and therefore it's not a Lashon of a Neder. Alternatively, he says, Inami, B'Lashon Hamon Am. He says this is the vernacular usage. Now, here's the word Bavavu, but the Hagos and Siyunim say, since this is Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva didn't live in Bavavu, he lived in Eretz Yisrael, so we delete the word Bavavu. So, in the vernacular usage, they use the Lashon of Nidoy, they call it Shamta, and they don't use the terminology of Nidoy, and that again makes sense. Nidoy is a Lashon more of a Neder, he says. That is the Rosh's understanding of the difference between Benedina Minoch, where everybody says it's definitely Osir, and Misham Sana Minoch, where everybody says that it's Shari. Now, here we get to our Papa's point, and he says, but my plegi, so then where do Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, who argue with Rabbi Akiva, where do they actually have a machlokas? And we turn to Zayin and Beis, and he says, if he uses the Lashon, b'menuda ani lecha, if he uses the Lashon, then I will be b'menuda. That's what is a machlokes. The Rabbi Kiva Savar Lishna Nidunyahu. Rabbi Kiva holds that this is the same thing as if he said Niduna Minoch. And in regards to Niduna Minoch, everybody agrees that it's also. So Rabbi Kiva says, I'm concerned that Menuda is very similar to Niduya, and therefore Rabbi Kiva holds in this situation that this is a Lishna the Niduyahu, and therefore it has to be Machmir and say that this is a neder, albeit it's a suffix, so we didn't get machmir. However, Rabbanan Sabre that Lishna de Misham Sana Hu, the Rabbanan say that the Lashon of Menuda is a Lashon of Nidui, a Lashon of Shamta, and therefore it is in fact going to be something that you don't have as a Yad, and therefore they don't consider it a neder, and therefore obviously there's not going to be a Malkus. As the Rosh explains to the Ramasul Menuda Hu de Pligi, the Rabbi Kiva Sofer Kivan de Lo Afke Beloshon Shamta, he didn't use the Loshon of Shamta, which was the vernacular usage as the Rosh just said, so Lav Daite Anidoi. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva says he's not thinking of making it as a Loshon of Nidoi, of Shamta, but it's more of a Loshon of a Neder, as the Chachamim disagree. Now, this opinion that we just brought down in the name of Rapapa disagrees with that which Rav Chisda said. Upli Rav Chisda. Rav Papa's understanding is different than Rav Chisda's understanding, because the Hal Gavra, the once was a man, a Maisa Shohaya, Dama, and this man said, Misham Sano Benichse Debrei de Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba. He said, I should have the status of being in Shamta from the Nechasim of the son of Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba. And He then went to ask, also l'kami d'ruchista, this person, this ha'ugavra, who said this, went to ask ruchista, nu, am I allowed or not allowed to get hana from his possessions? So ruchista tells him, omalei, lest the choshla l'hod Rabbi Akiva. Nobody is concerned about what Rabbi Akiva holds. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is a das yochid, a mishnah, is Rabbi Akiva against his chaverim, and we don't paskin necessarily like Rabbi Akiva against chaverim. We paskin like Rabbi Akiva against a yochid, but not against the rabbim, and therefore we don't concern ourselves less the choshla. There is no one that is concerned about this opinion, Rabbi Akiva, halacha l'maisa, and therefore when you said bisham sona benichse debrei the rabbi mibaraba, in effect we paskin like the chachamim that's not a lashon of a nether, that's a lashon of shamta, and shamta is in fact not going to take effect. And therefore, you are permitted to get an off from him. And therefore, clearly, Rav Chista's opinion is kusaba b'misham sana plige, that there is a machlokus over here in regards to misham sana, and not like we just said by Rav Papa that in regards to misham sana kuliyama shari, as Rav Papa just said. So Rav Chista clearly disagrees with Rav Papa as to what the halach would be in the case of misham sana, as he clearly passed in this case of ha'u gavra. Now we have an interesting sidebar. Further discussion on some of the laws of Nidui and Shamta once we just discussed it. And there are three levels. You have Nidui, Shamta, and Cherim. And the Gemara elsewhere discusses some practical, technical differences between them, which our Gemara is not going to go into. Our Gemara is just going to give some more general statements. And Amar Rabbi Ilo, Amar Rav. Rabbi Ilo said the name of Rav. Nido Bifonov. If you put somebody in Nidui in front of them, so the person did something wrong, and the Rav puts the guy in Nidui. So ein matirin lo ela b'fonav. So if you want to remove the nidui, so the person does tshuva and he says, "I'm sorry for what I did," and you want to remove the nidui, you must do it in his presence. The reason for that is the Mefari says in Dibur Masel Nido b'fonav, chokum shnidu es adam b'fonav, ein yochel lahatir lo ela b'fonav. You must do it right in front of the person. And the reasoning is, as you can clearly see in the Rosh, in Dibur Masel Nido b'fonav, Mishnah is chayav nidui, v'nidahu b'fonav. So a person did something wrong, he was chutzpedik to the Rav, and the Rav put him into nidui, and he did it in front of him. Ein matil ol b'fonav, you have to go and be matil this right in front of the person. And the reasoning is, the kemosh nidahu b'fonav, tzorech l'chabdo b'fonav, just like you put him into nidui, in his presence, so you have to be mechabed the person. That was a huge busha to put him into nidui right in front of him. So you mechabed him by removing the nidui in his presence as well. Ulechavod hamenuda kopid rab. And this statement of Rabbi Law Amar Rab was to be makbid on the kavod of the person who was put into nidui. V'mitiru shalom b'fonav heavy mutter. But if they didn't give him this kavod and they were matir his nidui even when he wasn't there, so bottom line is the Rosh says that the Hatara of the Nidui takes effect. You should do it in his presence because it was a big busha to be put into Nidui, so you want to give him a little cover. But he did tshuva, and he says, I'm sorry for what I did, I won't do it again. So then you give him cover by taking the Nidui away in his presence as well. The Ran in the top Ran, Dibur Masel Nidoh Befonav, has a slightly different understanding. He says, the Kivan de Befonav Nidoh, since you put him in Nidui in his presence, so Alim Niduye, it's a stronger type of Nidui, the Lomiyakir, and it can't be uprooted, it can't be matired, Ela Befonav, except in front of the person. However, the Ran says, I don't like that. In the second line, the Ran says, Lo Nihira. And he says, the real reason is, Ela Taima de Milsa, Mishum Chashoda. He says, the real reason is over here because of a Chashad. Because we say, if we go and remove this nidui from this person, not in his presence, so not everybody's going to know that. And therefore, pa'amim shiatiru, he's going to have the nidui taken away from him, v'amenuda lo yoda. But the person who was put into this nidui is not going to know that they took it away from him. He wasn't there when they took away the nidui. And therefore, everybody else may know about it, and they're going to start treating him normally. A person nidui, you're not supposed to be within dalet amos of him, you're not supposed to talk to him, you don't count him for various dvarim shebikdusha, etc. So all of a sudden he sees everybody is being nice to him again, so he's not going to know that they removed the nidui from him. Nobody's treating him as if he's a nidui anymore, he's not going to know that they removed it, so yavo l'chashada, it's going to lead people to say that nidui is not such a big deal. Listen, nobody's following the nidui. As opposed to, if they didn't put him into Nidui in front of him, so lecha chashoda, then you don't have this chashash that people are going to take Nidui not very seriously. Because they'll say that Shah Shu Sovah Shema Yitru Shalom Bifonav Kishem Shinidu Shalom Bifonav. Because they'll say, they mistama, they took away the Nidui just like they put him into Nidui, not in front of him. They mistama took it away, not in front of him. And this, the Ran continues, says, this is like we learned in the upcoming Gemara, and Daf Samachay, Hamuder Hanoam Echaveru Befanav. If you remove yourself from getting Hanoam from somebody else in his presence, in material Elufanav, you have to go and remove that Neder only in his presence as well. And the Yerushalmi explains the reason is because of this chashad, this concern that people won't take it seriously and that it will cast aspersions on the validity or the power of this type of a din. Well, if he's there, the Ran concludes and he says, Kol shadu hodiyuhu deleka chashoda. If they tell the guy, listen, they took you out of nidui, so then there is no longer a chashash over here, and therefore, in that situation, matirin lo shalobufanav. Since it's only a chashad concern, not like the Rosh had said, a concern about kavod, so here, there's only a concern that people are going to take it lightly. Well, here, once they let him know that the nidui has been removed, so then there is no chashash anymore, and it's perfectly good. And then the Ran concludes, and he says, if, in fact, b'chol sheitiru, if they gave him the heter from being a nidui, so afal pishlo hodiu, even if they didn't tell him, bottom line is, mutter di'evet. This chashad is something that we worry about l'chachila, but not b'di'evet. Okay, so that's the statement of Rabbi Lo Amar Rav, that if you put a person in nidoy in his presence, a matir lo elabafanav. And then he continues and he says, nidoy shalo bafanav. But if you put the guy in nidoy not in his presence, so then you have the option, matir lo ben bafanav, ben shalo bafanav. If you wish, you can take him out of the nidoy in his presence or not in his presence. Now, isn't this obvious? Why would you think that you can't put him out of the nidoy in his presence or not in his presence? So the Rush brings down, Adi Ramasl, nidoy shalo bafanav, and he says, because the fun of in his presence, osi lashminon, I might have thought so lo yatir lo befanav, that you shouldn't go and remove the nidoy in his presence because the mizbayish tvei, because that would embarrass him because he wasn't put into nidoy in his presence and now you're removing it in his presence, that would be embarrassing to him. Kamash v'lam dein boshes, no, we're not concerned about that. The Rush then goes through a discussion similar to what the Ran had about the chashash aspect, and he concludes and he says, Avo b'nido shlo b'fonav, if he was put into nidoy, not in his presence. So we don't have any concerns about chashash, because even though the person, kishiro shemekarvin, also he sees everybody suddenly nice to him, everybody's no longer treating him as if he's in nidoy, yom ha'beliba, he'll say to himself, kimosh nido shlo b'fonav, kach yitru lo shlo b'fonav. So there's no concern of chashash over here, because he'll on his own understand, yeah, they put me into nidoy without my being there, so in Mestama, they took me out of nidoy without my being there as well, and therefore, Rabbi Elor Amarav says there's no problem over here in being matur and bein befanav, bein shalom befanav. Gemara continues and says another statement made over the name of Rav. This one is from Rav Chanan. Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav, Rav Chanan says the name of Rav. Hashomeya haskoras Hashem mipi chaveiro. If somebody hears somebody else taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain, he hears somebody mentioning the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu inappropriately, he's over lo siso Hashem Hashem lekecho lashov, so tzorich lenadoso. So that's a reason to go and put somebody into nidui. That's a reason to put somebody in nidui by violating lo siso Hashem Hashem lekech lashav. Vim lo nidu, and if you don't go and do it, so then who atzmo yehi nidui? Then you yourself are going to be in nidui. Now the Ran points out in Dira Masku vim lo nidu who atzmo yehi nidui lo shehi binidui me'elav. It's not that he automatically goes into nidui. Elo royalis nados kama. It means that he should be put into nidui. Somebody has to do it though. Shari hamaskir atzmo sorich nidui. If the person who said the shem of Hashem in Shav requires to be put into nidui, but somebody has to put him into nidui. So how could it possibly be that you would think that if somebody hears it and just doesn't do anything about it, that he should automatically go into nidui? So clearly, the Ran says that, yes, he's deserving of being put into nidui if you hear it and you don't say something about it. But somebody has to go and put you into nidui, not that you automatically go into nidui. Now, why is this so bad that if you hear the person saying Shem of Hashem Levatola, that you should put him into nidui, and if you don't, then you're deserving of nidui? Because Shekom Mokum Shaskor Hashem Metsuya, wherever we find that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taken in vain, so there we also find Shom in that situation Anius Metsuya. You're going to find Nebuch that there's going to be poverty, and poverty is a terrible thing. Aniim are Kemesim, Anius Kemisa. As we have the famous statement from Dasan Aviran, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can go back to Mitzrayim. Don't worry, those people that tattled on you and said that you had killed the Mitzri, Kimesu, Shinema, Kimesu Kol Anoshim, the Dasan Aviram are no longer alive. Now, they were still alive. We find Dasan Aviram are still mentioned many times later on in the Chumash. So therefore, it means, Betanya, Komakul, Shinosnu Chachamim Einayim, Omisa, O'oni. Where the Chachamim put their eyes on somebody and saying that they did something wrong, so either they'll die or they'll be impoverished. So therefore, this statement, Kimesu Kol Anashim, and Dos and Navirim, are no longer alive, it didn't literally mean that they're not alive, it meant that they are, in fact, impoverished, and you don't have anything to worry about. Power is not going to listen to them when they were important, rich people, so people took their opinion seriously. But now that they're impoverished, so nobody's listening to them, and therefore you don't have to worry that those people will be deleturim against you, that they'll be tattletales against you and cause you trouble. No problem, Moshe Rabbeinu. Kimesu kol ha'anoshim. So we see that anius is kimisa, and anius is going to be, whenever you say the Shem Vashem levatola, so that's going to lead to poverty. And this is based, the Ran and the Rush both bring this down, b'chol mokom asher aski reshimi, avo elecha uveirach ticha. So therefore, we see Haskaras Hashem lemitzvah may be a bracha. If you mention Hashem's name properly, you get bracha. So therefore, the opposite is true, that if you mention Hashem's name for a good thing, lemitzvah may be a bracha v'osher, so nebuch haskaro l'shav, if you say Hashem's name for naught, so goremus anias, it can lead to anias. Alternatively, the Ran says, the Pasuk says, gavishua sheker, brings down a pasuk from Zechariah where it says v'cholsu es etzav v'esavonav, and he says medami eskar seshem levatola l'shua sheker. He brings down the Gemara in Temura, which compares it to, and in other words, it's not going to be a good thing. So where we have haskar seshem of Hakadosh Baruch Hu l'shav, it's going to lead to anias. Anias is like misa, and therefore this is a terrible thing. And therefore, if you hear the name of Hakadosh Baruch Hu being said levatola, and you don't go do something about it, so then you deserve to be put into nidui yourself. More continues with other Maisa Shoya. Amar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, Hava Koyimna. I was once standing Kamed Rav Huna. I was in front of Rav Huna. And Shama Lahach Itza. And I heard a certain woman say, the Afka Haskaras Hashem Levatola, that she said the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levatola. And what did Rav Huna do? Shamta. He immediately put her into Shamta. He put her into excommunication. But Vishara La La'alter Ba'pa, and he immediately undid the excommunication. He undid the Shamta right away in her presence. Now, she obviously did tshuva. She was sorry that she said it. He put her into Shamta. She expressed regret for this. It was sorry. And he immediately took her out of the Shamta, right in her presence. So, Rabbi Abba saw this Maisa in front of Rav Huna, and he said, Shmami Notlos. You can learn three things from what Rav Huna did. Number one, if you hear Rachman Luslan, somebody saying the Shem Hashem, you gotta put the guy into Nidui. Number two, since he did this Nidui right in front of her, so he had to undo it in front of her as well. And number three, Yushmamina, the third thing that we can learn from what Rav Huna did was Ein Bei Nidui Lehafara Velo Klum, that there doesn't have to be a long period of time between putting somebody into Nidui and removing them from the Nidui, what's called the Hafara of the Nidui. There doesn't have to be any time in between them. You can do it immediately. Obviously, she must have expressed some sort of a tshuva, otherwise he wouldn't have taken her out. If she was still adamant in her incorrect activity, so then she would certainly stay in Nidui. But since she must have expressed some sort of a regret, so then you can take her out right away. The Ran asks, however, in Dibamasu, Shmami no, Ein Bei Nidui Lafar Velo Klum, he brings down from Tosos in the Gemara in Elam Galchin, where he brings down that Shmuel had said, this is only in regards to Mamon, Avol Liaf Gerusa, Ad Chaylo Leh Shamto Tlosin Yom, that you need for inappropriate activity, you need a 30-day period of time. So Tosos there answered the Tirtzu, the Shiny Hocha, our case is different. Shinidu Ze Eino Ella La Ayem Olav. Shelo Yaskir owed Shem Shemayim Levatola. The purpose over here was not for past actions. This was to stress for the future. Don't do this again. And therefore, you made a terrible mistake now. Okay, that's done. Don't do it again. And therefore, this is not similar to the situation that was described in the Gemara Elam Galchin. Mishum Hachi Hacha Ein Beinidu Lafar Veloklum. That's why over here, you don't have to have that 30-day period of time. However, the Ran then says, he sees from the riff of a Risal or a Fasi, Sal Shadocha Oso. He doesn't like that Teretz. And he says that our Gemara disagrees with the Gemara in Eilam Gauchim. And he says, this is also the opinion of the Rambam, the Chin Das HaRambam Zal. So you have the riff and the Rambam disagreeing with the Gemara in Moed Katan, Eilam Gauchim. Just going back to the Gemara that you just had a moment ago, in terms of, we said that Dosan and Virun they didn't die actually, they were considered aniyim, and therefore that's ani choshev kmeis. So the Mefarshim will ask a question. We have other areas where we say a blind person is choshev kmeis, and we also see that a person who has tzaras is choshev kmeis, and a person who doesn't have children is choshev kmeis. So those are the four classical things that we have: ani choshev kmeis, metzora choshev kmeis, person doesn't have children's choshev kmeis, and assume a choshev kmeis. So why did we automatically assume in our Gemara thus in Aviron became impoverished and didn't have one of the other things as choshev kmeis? How do we know they didn't become blind? So the Mefarshim explained, because we see from a pasuk in Bamidbar in Parshas Korah where it says when they refused to go to Moshe Rabbeinu, they said, no matter what you do to us, even if you were to go and ha'inei ha'anashim ohein to not care, lo na'leh, we're not going to go to you. So it said that even if you were to blind us, we wouldn't go up. So obviously they weren't blind. Likewise, they couldn't be Mitzorayim because they were in the entire time. They were in the body of Klai Yisrael. They were in the encampment of Klai Yisrael, in the Machane Klai Yisrael. And a Mitzorah has to be outside the three camps. So therefore, they couldn't have been Mitzorayim. And in terms of having children, so the simple answer is, Kimesu Kol Anoshim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told, don't worry, they died. So if they died, and it didn't mean that they literally died, but it meant that they didn't have children, how would that help? They would still be powerful, and Moshe Rabbeinu would have to be afraid that they would go and continue to be dilatorim, that they would go and tattletale on Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro. So only the fact that possible it could be that they were impoverished and Paro wouldn't listen to them anymore because they were no longer choshev the people. They didn't have children, they would still be choshev the people. So that's the simple explanation as to why we say that they were aniyim and not one of the other things that a choshev kmeis. Finally, Gemara concludes and says, Amar Gidl Amar Rav. Another statement that Rav Gidl made in the name of Rav. Rav Gidl is one of the major Talmidim of Rav. He's mentioned many, many times in Shas. So Rav Gidl Amar Rav says, Talmud Chacham in Nada Liatzmo, Umeif Liatzmo. A Talmud Chacham can even put himself into Nidoy and take himself out of Nidoy. Gemara says, no, obviously, Pshita, why would you think not? Gemara says, no, you might have thought that Ma'od Tema, just like a person who's a Chavush, Ein Chavush, Matir Asma, Beis Asurim, a person who's in jail, can't go and take himself out of jail. We find many times in Shas that a great Talmud Chacham gets sick and he asks a lesser Talmud Chacham to go daven for him. And we find in that situation, they ask, how come the great Talmud Chacham couldn't free himself? Why did he need the lesser person to daven for him? And the answer is, Ein Chavush, Matir Asma, Beis Asurim, a person who's in prison can't get himself out. A person who has that sickness can't necessarily get himself better. He needs other people to daven for him. So that's what Rav Gidl Amar Rav is telling us, Kamash Malan, that even though the Talmud Chacham put himself in Nidui, he does have the ability to take himself out of Nidui. However, the Ran qualifies this. In the Ramasko, Talmud Chacham Nadal Atzmo, he says, based upon the Rashba, because of Rashba Zal, the Davka Hechad, the low heavy bar Nidui, he's not a real excommunicated person, like Yodamar Zutra, that my Zutra, because he put himself into Nidu, the Mimidis Chasidus, be Alma. He put himself into Nidu once because of Mimidis Chasidus, Mishum Yikora, the Bar Bira, because of the covet for a Talmud Chacham. As the Gemara will relate momentarily, we'll see this inside in a moment. So in that situation, Mishamas Nafshei, when he put himself into Nidu, for absolutely no reason other than for the covet of this Talmud Chacham, who he was going to put into Nidu, so then in that situation, the Rashba says, that's when you can be made for yourself. However, but if it was a real case where you'd be chayev to be put into Nidoy, and you put yourself into Nidoy, then lokol kemenu lahatir atzmo, then you wouldn't be allowed to go and undo it yourself. Somebody else would have to undo that Nidoy for you. However, that, the Ran says, is the Rashba's opinion. He brings down that not everybody agrees with this, based upon our upcoming Gemara, and they have a different gears over here, and he says that this is the opinion of the Rambam, that in fact, the B'chol Inyan, Shenidus Asmo, may fairly Asmo, that you can go and always undo your own Nidui, even if it wasn't done on a Midus Chasidus, but it was done for a real reason, so then you still can go do it yourself, undo it yourself. And he brings down that some are not Goris, who learn like the Rambam here, who have this opinion, so they aren't Goris the word Pshita, and they just keep on going into the next piece of the Gemara, which is what we'll do right now. So Echidomi, what are we talking about? The Rav Gidl said, in the name of Rav, that you could go be put yourself into Nidui and release yourself. So he says, Kihod de Mazutra Chasida, in the case of where Mazutra Chasida put himself into Nidui. Why? Ki Mechayev Bar Bi Rav Shamta, when he had to go and put one of the Tamidim into Nidui, into Shamta, because they did something wrong. So what he did first was Mishamis Navshei Bereshe. He first put himself into Nidui, and then Fahod de Mishamis Bar Bi Rav, and then he would go and put the Talmud Chacham, the student, into Nidui. He did this because, as the Rush writes, Mishum Kovet HaTorah, So Hayakosh Bein of Lenadoso. It was so difficult for him to put this Talmid, who deserved to be in Nidui, into Nidui, so he first put himself into Nidui, as Kavod HaTorah. And then what would he do? He would go back to his house, and Shari Lenavshay, he would undo his own Nidui. He was able to go undo his own nidui. That's what Rav Yitzchak Rav said in such a situation. And that's how the Rashba passes only in such a situation, whereas the Rambam said in every situation. So then he would be shor l'nafshei, v'hadar shorei lei. And then he would go and undo the excommunication that the student had been put into. The Ran explains, he first undid himself, so his family wouldn't have to distance themselves from him and would be able to go and carry on in normal with him. And the Ran points out from here, Meho Mashma, the Menuda, that this person is in Nidui, Afilu B'nei Beiso, Noagim Bo Nidui. Even his family has to treat him in Nidui. They have to stay 4 amos away from him, etc. And the proof is, because the Lo, if this wasn't Halacha, Maiki Alabesis, then what did he rush to do this when he went to his house? Albeit the Ran points out, the Raivit disagrees and says, Ishto Eno Chayevis Linog Bo Nidui, the wife doesn't have to go and treat the husband who is in Nidui as if he's in Nidui. And he says, the reason is because Ishto Kegufo, a wife is just like the husband. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.